I think that if you asked anyone on the streets, you know, what is Mahayana Buddhism, they would probably say, I've got absolutely no idea. Unless you bumped into, say, Vishvahani or Upeksha Priya or something, they would probably have an idea. But most people would have little or no idea at all. They probably never even heard the word Mahayana before. If you ask them, you know, what's Tibetan Buddhism, they'd probably scratch their head a little bit and they'd probably say, well, I don't know, the Dalai Lama has something to do with it. Maybe. They wear purple robes. They'd probably say something like that. Or if you said, well, you know, what's Zen? They probably say something like, it's Japanese, it's got something to do with simplicity, tea ceremonies, I don't know, stuff like that. They probably say that. So these are things that they know about, and yet they wouldn't know anything about Mahayana Buddhism. That seems to me to be very strange, because actually Zen Buddhism is a form of Mahayana Buddhism. And Tibetan Buddhism, to a significant degree, derives from Mahayana Buddhism. In other words, its teachings are largely based on Mahayana Buddhist teachings. And yet, this term Mahayana Buddhism is unfamiliar. And in fact, when I was trying to find publishers for the book, I wrote to a couple of publishers, and I mean, they may have been saying it just to kind of, just to fob me off. You know, this is what publishers do. They sort of write back nicely and say, well, your project sounds very interesting, but it sounds too specialized for us. I mean, that could mean we thought it was crap. But it could mean that. That actually the term, the concept of Mahayana Buddhism has no reference for them, no resonances for them. And again, I found this really, really strange, because I think many publishers, if you presented a book on Zen Buddhism, they wouldn't say, well, that sounds very, very specialised. They say, oh, that sounds about something quite important, quite a major theme. So this idea, this term Mahayana Buddhism is really not very well known, and I'm not really sure that I can answer why that is, you know, what the explanation for that is. I think there are probably quite a lot of reasons of cultural accident that mean that we don't really have a familiarity with the term Mahayana Buddhism, and yet we do have a familiarity with terms like Zen and Tibetan Buddhism. And so perhaps we're moving towards at least one justification for writing the book, you know, to share knowledge, to share understanding of what Mahayana Buddhism is. That's kind of one of the reasons, really. But I haven't actually told you anything, really, apart from saying that Zen and Tibetan Buddhism, to some extent, derive from Mahayana Buddhism. So what is it? Well, the Mahayana means great way or great vehicle. And as those of you that have been attending my talks will know, it is the second of three major phases, or at least this is how historians have tended to see it, the second of three major phases of Buddhist development. So the first major phase being what I call Nikaya Buddhism, and this is the Buddhism that, well, to some extent the Buddha practiced, but particularly the period that followed the Buddha, and in sort of textbook accounts this is seen as around about the first 500 years of Buddhist development, really, after the Buddha. And it kind of, well, up to about the Common Era. And in some textbook accounts, this phase then gave way to the second phase, which was Mahayana Buddhism, which we're dealing with here. And that the period of its development is seen as being between the Common Era and around about the year 500. And just to fill in the complete picture, the third phase is called the Vajrayana, or Tantric Buddhism, and that is seen as relating to the period from about 500 to about 1000, the Common Era. But if you've been to the talks, you'll have seen that actually I presented a picture that showed that it wasn't really like that at all, or certainly wasn't as neat as that. And Mahayana Buddhism took a long time to catch on in its country of birth, which was India. And it may be that it only really caught on in any major way after it had become important in other places, including parts of Central Asia and China. So just to kind of characterize Mahayana Buddhism, it's a little bit hard for me to do right now because I spent the last 4 weeks doing it. So to kind of try and bring it into a few phrases is quite tricky. But I would say, in its broadest terms, Mahayana Buddhism is concerned to contextualize the life of the individual Buddhist within the life of the whole cosmos. and in particular to contextualize the process of the individual's spiritual awakening within the context of the awakening of the entire cosmos. So our awakening, our individual awakening, is in some important senses connected with the awakening of all beings in all worlds at all times. It's not just us and our little day-to-day practice. What we're doing is playing out on a cosmic stage, we're participating in a cosmic drama. Our role is maybe quite small, but there are billions and trillions and billions of beings who are also participating in this cosmic drama of universal awakening. For me, this is what is key, or perhaps the most central thing, about Mahayana Buddhism. And that is summed up, or that is embodied, in the Mahayana Buddhist ideal, which is called the Bodhisattva ideal. The Bodhisattva being the awakening being, the being who is bent on awakening, who wants to awaken not just for him or herself alone, but wants to awaken to help all beings to become awakened. They want to awaken all beings everywhere, in all worlds, at all times. So it's very, very ambitious, a very ambitious ideal, but also, I think, very, very inspiring. Besides this, this scripting of the individual's spiritual life within this cosmic drama, Mahayana Buddhism emphasizes a great deal the role of cosmic figures, cosmic Buddha figures, who may appear across many different world systems and who have untold powers, who have untold spiritual merit, and who can reach down to us or reach out to us and help us to become awakened, because they have fulfilled the Bodhisattva path. They have gone through this process of awakening on behalf of all beings. And in fact, the figure that we've got on the shrine is called Amitabha, or in Japanese, Amida. And Amida is the Buddha of Light. In some depictions, he's in fact in a depiction in the book, because it's got colour pictures. If you see in the book, there's a colour picture of Amida, and he has this golden light pouring off him in all directions. And in fact, just to kind of continue with the picture in the book, he's surrounded by all kinds of figures and bodhisattvas and devotees of different kinds, and he's welcoming all beings, he's inviting all beings to come and live, to come and dwell in his transcendent realm, which is called Sukhavati, which means happy place, happy world, something like that. And it's also known as the Pure Land. So a Mahayana Buddha, this is what they do. They sometimes preside over this perfect realm in which awakening can take place, and they try to invite and welcome in all beings into that realm so that they too can become awakened. And seemingly all we need to do is we need to maybe recite Amida's name, and we will be reborn into his Pure Land. How fantastic is that? That's all you need to do. And if you read the book, you'll realize that maybe it's not quite as straightforward as that, but in one sense it is. Yeah, so that's something about the nature of Mahayana Buddhism, anyway.